This podcast is brought to you by iGel. iGel offers the next generation edge operating system designed for simple, secure, and high performance access to virtual desktops and cloud workspaces. Easy to implement and straightforward to operate.
At the third stroke, it will be.
Well, hello and welcome to EUC Digest, your bi-weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. This is episode 3, and in today's show, we'll be talking about the cool stuff from VMworld in Barcelona. But before we dive into VMworld related details, please allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Erik van Klaveren, and I'm your host for this episode. With me in this episode is...
Jits Langendijk.
Hey. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to be here again.
Cool, cool. Thanks for being here.
No worries.
What did you find out about our guest?
Yeah, well, as I said, I sneaked a little bit around. And last year during the Olympics, was it last year? I don't know exactly,
don't know.
But there was in 2018.
Much of a sports guy.
Okay, but it was this Katie. She was talking about everyone was ice skating to work in the Netherlands. And This was especially around the fake news, right? So this is not entirely true. So our guest today, he is not able to use his skating abilities to go to the office. But he is living in this part of the Netherlands where everyone has a windmill in their garden or actually
is it?
Living in a windmill. So That's one of the fun facts for today of our guest. So what did you find out about him?
He really likes his socks to be happy.
Oh, does he? Oh.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, I can tell by...
But that's not all. Did you know he actually wanted to be a sailor? Instead of a pre-sales consultant.
Like drinking beers and singing songs?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
He wants to row his boat.
Oh, or rock the boat maybe. But well, and he is one of the, the ones who took the initiative of the VUC Tech Cons in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, because everyone is already aware of who we're talking about, but please introduce yourself.
Yeah, all right, guys. My name is Huib Dijkstra. I'm an end-user computing specialist at VMware, and I do like boats, I have to be honest, and happy socks as well. So you're spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah, we really did our investigation, especially you, Jits, because the ones you found out, I didn't know.
Well, I didn't know until pretty recently. So, but a windmill in your garden.
So, I like to fix up old houses, and I recently bought a house next to a windmill.
Next to a windmill.
Yeah, like the traditional.
Oh,
Dutch.
I actually thought it was a joke.
No, it's 100% accurate. Yeah. So, I'm currently in the process of redoing all the electricity in my house. That's the thing I do. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. But before we dive into the VMworld stuff, we have to mention Gurami BV for sponsoring the studio microphones and bringing the audience our voice. And also VMware the Netherlands for providing an office so we could make this recording. So in this episode, we're going to talk about VMworld Barcelona. But before we dive into the cool stuff and all the neat stuff, can you tell us anything about VMworld? Why is it? What is it? Why is it in Barcelona?
Yeah, so VMworld is a technical conference held in both Barcelona as San Francisco. It hosts around 21,000 attendees from around 5,000 different companies. And I think 230, 240 sponsors. And it's just one big tech fest with everything around VMware infrastructure or virtualization software. Yeah,
it's actually the biggest virtualization conference in EMEA, I guess, right? The one in Barcelona, of course.
Could be. I don't know, but it is rather big. Yeah.
Well, 21,000 people or attendees. That's
you said number. A lot of sponsors.
Yeah.
Dell is one owns actually VMware. Is he one of the sponsors as well?
Dell is present at the conference. Don't know if they're a sponsor, but they have a presence at the conference. You can find them in booths. They host sessions, so they're a key player during VMworld.
Okay. And VMware presents a lot of their new products, new services around this venue. That's why it's called VMworld. But does Dell provide any new products and services as well? Or
Well, they do announce like new corporations together with VMware. So, for example, they offered a device as a service last year. We've announced our integration with Workspace ONE and Dell and factory services at VMware last year. So, they do announce, but it's more on the software side, not on the, device level.
Yeah, because it would be a different venue or...
Yeah, it's the same. They host Dell Technologies World. So VMware is present at that conference as well.
From the software side.
From the software
side. Virtualization.
But that's their main technology.
So primary focus is the software solutions provided by VMware. And talking about focus, you work at VMware, of course. And what's your primary focus?
Yeah, so my primary focus is end-user computing. Have done end-user computing for 13 years now. Once did a little sidestep into SharePoint, but quickly realized that end-user computing is the coolest thing on earth.
And SharePoint isn't.
We'll leave it there. I prefer end-user computing.
But is SharePoint a bit of end-user computing?
I think it is, yeah.
But more for a functional perspective,
yeah,
right?
Especially now it's integrated into Teams and into with like syncing mechanisms as OneDrive. So I think it still is end-user computing, yeah.
So... being end-user computing, your primary focus at VMware. What was your what were your the biggest announcement around end-user computing during VMware Barcelona this year, 2019?
Yeah, there were a lot. So I'm not sure how big is our time frame, but there were a lot of new introductions, new announcements, new features released at VMworld, and also after VMworld, we did a couple of press releases. So. I kind of bundled them up for the show today, so we can talk about the main topics.
Yeah, if you have three or something, three or five.
Oh, I have to choose.
You have to choose.
What's your favorite? Right.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
The most exciting announcement around EUC.
I think we did a couple of announcements around Workspace ONE and our Intelligent Hub. So that's the client of Workspace ONE. And as a second topic, I think within Horizon, we also did a couple of larger announcements, especially around the Volumes 4 and with our cloud services and universal brokering. So we can broker sessions throughout, like on-premises and in the cloud. I think those are exciting topics to talk about.
Okay. And why are those the topics you want to talk about? How does this make an impact in end-user computing?
Well, especially on the Workspace ONE side, I think we're taking a huge step forward in creating end-user services that go a little bit further than just delivering an application or a device policy. It really goes into your day zero, like you're applying for a new job process, all the way up to you're already working at a company for a couple of years and you're experiencing difficulty from your device or from your environment. And you're not able to work in an optimized environment. Our new features and our new announcements all go into that process and go into making the lives of end-user computers better.
So it isn't just a portal that brings you a bunch of applications. It goes beyond that.
Yeah, it's advanced predictability. It's new processes, streamlined workflows, all that kind of stuff, which just in the end makes... for a more complete service towards the end user.
So you mentioned Workspace ONE in combination with the Intelligent Hub and also like new employees showing up at work for the first day. So can you tell us a little bit about what the impact is for this new employee when he, well, just walks into the office and now what?
Yeah. So we've all applied for a new job, right? At least I have a couple of times. And it's an exciting time. A lot of stuff is going on, but there's also a lot of interaction and a lot of information going back and forth, all whilst you're not an employee yet. So
This is day zero.
That's day zero. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So whether that is like the new contract you're getting offered, or it's maybe some contract about a company, a car you're getting, or choosing a new device, or getting the title for your new role, all that kind of stuff, who your new colleagues will be. That's all information you kind of want in that day zero process. And we announced Workspace ONE Assistant as our new module for that process. So it's both day zero as day two. So it takes care of everything from that onboarding process of getting in touch with your new manager and getting to know who your new colleagues are and getting your contract signed, all the way up to enrolling your device on the first day on the job and getting a company account, up to day two. And that's where you're getting into the UK office and the Wi-Fi isn't working. And some intelligence is built around that on fixing that.
And this isn't a technology that could have been done a couple of years ago.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right at that point. And I think we needed. So it's built around IBM Watson. So it's built around analytics and machine learning, and those are all technologies from the last couple of years.
Okay, to my understanding, you have IBM Watson and you hook up Workspace ONE, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And you connect those together and it does
smart things.
Smart things. It aggregates
all kinds of data and input, I guess. And 'cause, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is basically ties together all kinds of different processes that may or may not require manually activation or triggers or whatsoever. And you just tie it into one big workflow, for example. And in the end, it's just providing more, more ease of use for the end user, for the employee, the new employee. Because that's how I understand it as you explained it. And it allows me to be productive right on, well, maybe on the first before hour
you,
or so,
before
something.
You get started, actually.
Yeah, you do not have to wait on all kinds of hurdles or loopholes that you need to find.
Is VMware trying to solve a problem many of us IT and engineers are facing, that we start at a job and nothing is ready yet?
Yeah, well, I think we already had that fixed. At least when I started at VMware, I was unlucky that my device didn't show up. That's just it got lost somewhere around in the shipping process. But I just took my own MacBook and enrolled it and got up and running within like 1.5 hours. So with your own device at day one, I got the company account, downloaded Workspace ONE, enrolled my own MacBook. And was up and running let's say within the hour. So I think VMware got that process already covered. But this is building out the technology for day zero. So when you're not already at day one, but just building up to the new job, that process, and day two, grabbing existing technologies and integrating them together to make a better day two experience. So whether that it's frequently asked questions or self-servicing your own devices, for example, to lock down your iPad or your tablet when you lost it, I think just optimizing that those capabilities. I think that's what the Workspace ONE Assistant is all about.
So and it's all about functionality for this new employee. But what about the technical difficulties that an IT department, maybe or may not face during building this entire workflow? Because IBM Watson is great, but it's not like a magic box where that solves all your problems overnight without any input. Mm. You need to tie this all together with APIs or SDKs, for example, or with different applications. Not everyone is using Workday or... for example, did VMware pay any? Well, of course they did, but how do they try to overcome all these technical difficulties?
Yeah, I think for a part we'll have to wait and see. It's just an announcement at this point, and currently I don't have all the technical details yet. But I can imagine that you have to hook it up to like different kinds of services and set different profiles, like the example I gave earlier. When I walk into UK office and my Wi-Fi isn't working, the Wi-Fi profile is probably already somewhere in Workspace ONE. So if you can trigger that workflow, like an automatic bot response, which I can chat to, like, hey, my Wi-Fi isn't working. And there's like a automation engine behind it as well. It could trigger then the deployment of the new Wi-Fi profile. I think that's kind of the vision for this product. But like I said, everything can change. It's just an announcement at this point.
So this is relatively new, actually.
It is.
This is fresh, and we still have to see what changes are coming.
Yeah, like okay. I said, the the day one stuff, VMware had that covered for a couple of years now. So we're a solid state for our management for basically all types of end user devices. So we're now just building out new services around that, around those capabilities.
Okay, and this is just a workspace one.
It is,
thing,
yes.
Or if I am a Horizon customer, I can get this as well.
Yes, so there are like new integration possibilities. So it's now officially possible to combine persistent desktops with Workspace ONE. So you can service persistent desktops the same way as you would a laptop or a desktop device on the Windows estate. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's one of the possibilities. And there's also new integrations on the security side, but we'll talk about that later, I guess.
Oh, security is always interesting.
Yeah.
So
you want to dive right in now?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I love security.
I've read or overheard something about the Trust Network updates. Or
yeah.
Is it one of the components?
Yeah, I think that there are. I kind of created an umbrella for myself, and I think a lot of the speakers at VMworld did, and it was everything around Zero Trust. And Zero Trust isn't a product or a feature, and a lot of vendors are adopting the terminology. I think it originally comes from Alphabet Company, so Google, yeah. Google side of things. And around the whole Zero Trust, we did a couple of announcements, actually. So first up, there's the Carbon Black acquisition. We're kind of leveraging that to build in risk scores within Workspace ONE Intelligence. So basically, you have in a zero trust model, you don't trust anything. So you don't trust the device, you don't trust the connection, don't trust the application, don't trust the identity. But now we can do so based on risk levels. So it's no longer a yes or no. But if I deny my laptop updates for 3 times in a row, and I install 10 new pieces of software, whereas in a normal working day or a normal working month, I only install one application, then suddenly my risk profile increases.
Okay, but this isn't just a dashboard. It's an automation,
yes,
orchestration.
And it's already fully built in. So we were already collaborating with Carbon Black before the acquisition. So all features were available on day one after the acquisition. So you're now currently, you can implement those risk scores and user risk scores, device and user risk scores, into your automation engine and have Workspace ONE respond according to the different risk levels.
So it detects abnormalities, for
yes.
example?
Yeah.
And who defines the risk level attached to, the abnormality as you just described with all of a sudden an increase of new software updates and no security updates, but software installations instead?
Yeah, so it's a combination of things. It's first, we did an acquisition last year of a company called E8. So that's the analytics engine on that side. We combine Carbon Black for the risk levels.
But in my guess, these analytics aren't stored on your on-premises servers, right? These are sent to cloud and they use computational power,
yes.
which are in there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's a cloud service, the Workspace ONE Intelligence service.
Okay.
So, and then one of the first things you're probably going to do is step up your authentication, right? So when the risk levels increase, you're gonna respond and either step up authentication or no longer offer certain services. So one of the announcements we did around step up authentication is we already offered a two-factor authentication possibility in the form of Verify. That used to be a standalone app. We're now building this into the Workspace ONE Hub. So to have everything in one place. So that's an announcement we did there. And like Yitz mentioned, we have the Zero Trust Network also built into the Workspace ONE Intelligence. So again, you can use flag found signals from other vendors basically to lock down your device or protect your most vulnerable data. And we went GA on that service. We announced it last year. And we went GA with Carbon Black, Netskope, and Lookout.
And does this also hook on to third parties like Microsoft Graph and that kind of stuff? Or is it just...
We do hook into Microsoft Graph, not specifically on the Zero Trust network side. Although we did make an announcement. I'll get back to that. On the Graph side, we integrate for the Intune part, where we can send Intune commands to Microsoft devices. to lock them down in certain scenarios. But it isn't an input to change the scenario. That's kind of what the intelligence module and the zero trust is all about. And the announcement we did was it used to be like a private collaboration between a couple of third parties. We've now opened that up with a public API for data ingest. So everybody who has a security company can now ingest data into the Zero Trust network.
Okay. So why do you think this is so important for end user computing?
Because I don't think that end user computing are the crown jewels, but they're an easy target. And although I'm not an expert, I did read a couple of books lately, and you see throughout history that like it's easy to gain access through end user computing. It's way harder to get into
why most hackers don't try to get in the company. They use the humans as a resource.
That's a different route, but one. Yeah, the social engineering side also happens at end user computing. That's where actually the behavioral analytics come into play. But they're just an easy target. People don't like multiple accounts, multiple passwords. They try to make life as easy as possible for themselves.
I like a password from 22 characters and capitals low.
there is no one that actually likes security being enforced on you.
No.
It just needs
not.
To be there, right? It needs to be transparent. And I need to...
Probably everybody knows why it's there, but we don't like it because it's so annoying to get, like you said, second factor authentication, multi-factor authentication. I don't want to put in another PIN code because it's an extra step I want to do. And you try to get that bit away from the end user. And
I think it should happen dynamically.
Yeah.
So don't lock down the house every minute of the day. But only lock it down when certain stuff happens.
It's about the context.
It's all about the context. And I think you always should look at it in the perspective of how happy an end user still would be in that scenario. So end user experience and security go hand in hand as far as...
Finding the right balance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool stuff, right?
Yeah, no, fully agree. Yeah, for sure. It's cool stuff. And in the end, you need an intuitive workspace where an end user just consumes his functionality, whether that's access to data or applications, and he or she doesn't care where these applications running, whether it's on premises or a SaaS application or whatsoever. They just want to use it. IT is just a toolbox, and you need access to the toolbox.
Yeah, it's a tool to do his/her neutral job.
Yeah, so the end user is only concerned about productivity and privacy. Right. So they want to know, am I being watched? That's the basic question every end user asks. And they just want to be productive. They don't want to go through all
you
kinds
of hurdles.
You have
all these cameras over here and you're asking me if we're being watched.
And they're moving.
Yeah, we're in a smart building. So VMware has smart offices. So the stuff you're looking at are point microphones, so they can trace your voice and the camera moves accordingly. And that's for our online meeting equipment we have in the room. So that's the cameras you're looking at.
Okay. So for the next podcast here at VMware offices, we can live stream it.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
I'm not really suited today for that.
You're never. The last 3 or 4 months, you're always wearing a hoodie.
A hoodie? No, it's just a vest, an old man's vest. Maybe I should become a sailor.
Yeah,
I can teach you.
So you mentioned another, at the beginning, you mentioned a couple of announcements this year at VMworld Barcelona. Mm-hmm. We covered the Intelligent Hub and Workspace ONE. What are there, or are there any other announcements?
A big thing with VR and augmented reality.
There are still a couple of announcements. Yeah, there was a lot. So I know we have to get to Horizon. I really do. But just to shout out a couple of other big announcements. One of them was the integration with HID or HID. They're a manufacturer of door sensors and smart building systems. We have now integrated our intelligence hub. It was basically a request from VMware facilities themselves. They wanted to move away from the traditional badge and go towards a app and a phone NFC kind of communication. So we are now integrating with them to basically create a system where you unlock doors and door sensors with your phone with a specific gesture. And as I understand it, the door sensor can also send a signal back to the Workspace ONE Hub to basically work in a cohesion with geofencing and to
like another probe for providing the context.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm working onto a factory floor, and suddenly my device goes in protective mode. That kind of stuff. So that's a new integration we announced. We announced a collaboration with Appdome. So Appdome is a no-code service provider where you basically can create applications without having to write code, so drag and drop, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
We've now integrated our Workspace ONE SDK. So basically you're getting all the data loss preventions, integrations, and all the remote wiping and integration we currently have in our own applications. So that's an announcement we did.
Do you see a lot of third-party solutions hooking into the Workspace? It's increasing.
Yes. Yeah. And on that same note, there was an integration with a Dutch company actually called Liquid with the Q. Founded by a couple of the former Imidio colleagues. What they do is they basically offer a packaging as a service for all the standardized applications. So when you have a Foxit reader or Chrome or Firefox deployment, when you look at my customers, everybody's packaging that same new version of Firefox. So
are they? Aren't they on app files?
Yeah, but you still have to create like a new layer for that, or at least you have to get it to IT to be able to deliver it out. So what Liquid offers is
Sorry.
You were thinking about...
You're thinking of Horizon already. Yeah, we're still in Workspace ONE.
Oh, sorry, what? Sorry.
TINAP packages you were thinking, or...?
Yeah. Fee and TINAP and that kind of stuff.
That's a fun topic as well. But
yeah, it's basically a marketplace for like hundreds of standardized applications you can now deliver throughout Workspace ONE. So that's kind of a cool announcement. And while we're at the topic of like Windows apps, we have a new partnership with Microsoft with the Endpoint Manager. So that's the new SCCM together with Intune.
Yep.
We're now delivering a new Workspace ONE access module, which goes on top of that service. So on top of the Endpoint Manager service from Microsoft.
What would be the benefit of that?
As I understand it, Microsoft doesn't really tie in their Identity Manager services, which is like in 365 or at least in the cloud. They haven't hooked that into Intune. So the device context isn't like aware of the cloud apps context. And that's something VMware offers, right? In the access module, we can check if a device is managed or not managed and respond accordingly. And I think that's the main goal for those customers, to have those modules hooked up in the same way as you would have like with a Workspace ONE UEM managed device and Workspace ONE access. And then on that same note, we've got Airlift in the background, where if customers want to like go from the traditional SCCM towards a Workspace ONE managed device, we can lift and shift packages and now also do GPO migrations with the Airlift 2 module. So that's kind of all new.
Are there dependencies with Airlift?
Yeah. So of course, there's a module you have to install next to your site manager, and there's a couple of ports you have to open. And there's a couple of links and like specifically some sort of devices can only be managed by one of the two. So you have to kind of figure out or architect at which point do I step away from SCCM and go towards Workspace ONE.
But it is only for SCCM to AirWatch or to Workspace ONE.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just easing the transition from one solution to the other.
Yeah,
and have a more integrated
solution. Maybe if you have like an Altiris or any other type,
that would be cool. Yeah,
and you could.
You never know what's on the roadmap. You're not going to share.
I'm not
it
aware.
Probably.
No. So
that was actually my.
I'm a big Altiris fan. It's something from back in the day. I really like the product. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but that was actually the question, because. No, it isn't niche, but it's very specific, tied to your product and the one from Microsoft. So I was wondering, is Airlift for more than just that? But it's only SCCM at the moment.
I presume, like we take a look at the market. I think a lot of customers have SCCM and trying to move towards modern management. And you got multiple flavors modern management, whether you're combining Workspace ONE Access with Intune or with the new Endpoint Manager, I have to say. Or you're like stepping fully on board of the Workspace ONE modern management style. I think, yeah, there are multiple flavors, but everybody's moving towards a modern style of management, over-the-air management across WAN.
Especially when there are a lot of mobile users around. And
well, everyone is mobile these days, right? I mean,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. A laptop is mobile.
Yeah.
So if you want to manage that and do that in a very, I have to say, traditional way,
completely locked down, and these are the tools that you are required to do your work.
I personally always look down on like telephone departments at companies, like, oh yeah, they're arranging our new phones, whatever. I was always more interested in VDI or like SBC solutions, but you kind of have to hand it to them. They were managing devices in a much better way than we were, with like the likes of Altiris and SCCM and driver packages and all that kind of stuff.
I was there. I mean,
they, from day one, they managed devices across the internet. No longer did they need a system VPN or a connection to the data center to be able to update them. Okay. They were on a continuously updating path. They were, if a device crashed, you could reset it back to its original settings.
Yeah, that's probably why the world changed.
Yeah.
And Microsoft with their Windows 10 and Apple with Mavericks, they changed their whole strategy from a GPO or script managed to like more mobile managed.
I think everybody is adopting the mobile style of management. Yeah.
No, they need to, of course, right? Because as you said, when you joined VMware, you worked on your own machine, your own MacBook. Yeah. But these days, well, my employer provides me with a nice Windows device, completely, well, not completely locked down, but it's not very sufficient. And then again, I'm not really a Windows user anymore. I used to be, but you start engineering your way around it, right? As soon as they lock it down or something, people just want functionality and they just engineer around it or use their own. I mean, we've all seen it with vTransfer and all that kind of stuff, or Dropbox syndrome.
It's more or less what Hope said. We're moving more to a modern management type of
a user-centric approach, and actually listening to the user, to the employee, to your colleague, what it is that they need in the end of the day, and just provide this.
The new style just offers the ability for IT to no longer fully manage a device, just to have the end user a little bit more freedom. We've now got new tools in our toolkit to secure data and secure our company estate. So we can give the end user a little bit more freedom. And that's the thing I like most about the new way of managing devices. I think that's the best.
So how does Horizon fits into this?
Yeah, let's go to last Microsoft announcement is, of course, the new Microsoft WVD.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, coming in Q1, if I'm not mistaken.
From Microsoft?
Yeah, so it's the collaboration between Microsoft Horizon. So you're deploying a Microsoft Horizon service.
Oh, it's for VMware.
Yes.
It was the Microsoft announcement, because that's already there.
That's already there. So it's the collaboration between Horizon and Microsoft WVD. So that's a couple of customers are running it in beta at the moment. So that's coming next year.
But why should you choose VMware on top of Microsoft? Well, Microsoft is already providing you with a VDI.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm seeing more and more is if companies start adopting the cloud, they also start adopting multiple solutions. So it's no longer a lengthy process where they find one solution which they are going to install in their data center. As soon as they go to the cloud, they are going like 20% from solution A and 10% from solution B and 30% at solution C. So they get a mix of solutions in place. And I think if you already have a Horizon estate and maybe have something on Amazon or IBM hosted, and you also have like credits, or you have a piece you want to host at Microsoft for a specific application or department, you can kind of use the umbrella service.
So it's just actually to tie in as an umbrella on top of the Azure Microsoft platform.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, all the benefits that come with the Horizon suite.
Yeah. So the protocol blast and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And we also made announcements while we're going into the Horizon piece anyway, is to have you like a unified application and image management across all those different cloud or on-premises services. So, and that's I think where the, like, besides from App Volumes 4, which we can talk about in a minute, I think if you look at the biggest Horizon announcements are all around the cloud-based control plane, which isn't completely new. We announced it last year, so it's already turning one. But we now announced the new Horizon services, which are tied into that platform. So it was already a Horizon Cloud platform. I think it came from the original Deathstone side of within VMware. We now offer new services or announce new services around application management, monitoring, a new API set, a universal brokering mechanism to broker your sessions across all those different clouds. So that's
for a hybrid scenario.
Yeah, I think.
Well, hybrid, but also multi-cloud, right?
Yeah, multi-cloud, hybrid.
Hybrid, yeah. Multi-cloud.
Okay, well, I always took hybrid as being on-premises and a cloud, but no, different clouds.
That's just terminology. I think when I talk about those kind of scenarios, I like to explain it as a true burst out. So a true burst out is a on-premises environment which automatically expands into the cloud. So without IT interference, it can run in the cloud if the capacity is low in your data center. And in all other scenarios, it's some form of hybrid or multi-cloud. So that's...
It isn't a Prius.
No, yeah, well, I don't know how that will work.
Just for our listeners. AppValumes, you mentioned it a couple of times.
Yeah.
Any App news?
For.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
in beta at the moment.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So AppValumes is our application layering solution. And most customers running AppValumes version 2.x, it's designed for on-premises environments. Our cloud customers all use AppValumes 3. The aim is for AppValumes 4 to replace both. Hence the universal application management in the control plane. And it's we're calling it Simplified Application Management, or SAM, will be GA in Q1. And it will move away from the grouping of applications in one layer and go towards one application in each app stack or each layer and combining them. And and there's a new versioning built in there. There's a whole new feature set being built in and being delivered. So, and in the end, it just makes a difference. And you're either a fan of layering techniques or you're not. Usually there's a distinct difference between the two groups. But it just dramatically improves like management of applications and performance and management. So yeah,
and providing more flexibility for the IT admin in the end.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice. So I think we have enough about VMworld.
Well, never have enough, but we can talk for hours. But
I guess so.
Yeah. I have something for a closing. Maybe that's cool, right?
Yes.
We still have one question.
All right. So which one do you do first?
AppValumes.
Yeah, wrapping up, I think one of the coolest thing, and it was kind of talked about at VMworld, not really released at VMworld. It's a new Fling.
And the Flings are the...
Yeah, Flings are like the smaller tools created by either VMware employees or people from the community, which really offer a significant service for...
This was the OS optimization tool was one of them, right?
That was one of the Flings, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And there's a new one. It was previously called Project Heimdall. It's now called Horizon Reach. And when customers have designed their environment according to cloud pod architecture, they can use the new Fling basically to tie in all the monitoring of the cloud pods into one dashboard, which is just a really cool new tool. All right, so that's a really cool new tool created by Andrew Morgan. So that's a cool last thing to wrap up with, I guess.
What's the thing that EUC related that we missed today during this podcast? Anything you want to share or to highlight or emphasize? Now is your time to speak up.
I'm just thinking. Yeah. So as a last thing, I think I briefly mentioned it, Project VXR. It's a special interest project under the office of the CTO. So not a product you can buy yet. And it's the same old VMware thing, right? We're trying to decouple the software solution from the hardware. So what if you can just grab all kinds of 3D applications and do analytics on those applications in the cloud? And manage it from one single location, and have just a generic agent on the device. So that's and with loads of other services around it, but that's the basic gist of it. So that's the special interest project. And the final announcement we did on this specific topic was that you can now manage the first three VR devices as just you would do with a mobile device from Workspace ONE. And those are the Oculus Rift, the HTC 5, and the Pico. So you can now manage those VR devices. That's basically a step one towards the VXR goal. So that's a kind of a cool thing to take a look at, or at least check it out sometimes. There are blogs and everything about it. So
yeah.
That's virtual cool. reality, mixed reality, exactly. augmented reality, always cool stuff.
Yeah, so, the new end user computing. Yeah,
for sure.
Check it out. And thank you for being here. Where can people find you on?
So they can either send me. Yeah, how can they contact me? So they can send me an email at dijkstrah@vmware.com, or they can find me at Twitter under @HypeDijkstra.
Right. So thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this snack as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. If you have anything you want to add here or just want to stay in touch, reach out to us on the social channels or by email on podcast@eucdigest.com. Cheers, love, and rockets.
This podcast is brought to you by iGel. iGel offers the next generation edge operating system designed for simple, secure, and high-performance access to virtual desktops and cloud workspaces. Easy to implement and straightforward to operate.